Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So as I briefly mentioned earlier, I spent last week in the backcountry mountains of Colorado. First time I'd ever been out there, and really I got to experience any of the Rocky Mountains and their glory. I was with the Anglican Leadership Initiative, as well as seven other rectors from our diocese. It was a week dedicated to growth, to collaboration, to sustainable leadership learning, all in a wilderness setting. It was a time that indeed brought perspective. Our base camp in the Colorado backcountry was in the shadow of Mount Huron, a 14,000-foot peak that we could see just right in front of us every day. But my tent in particular, when I opened it up every morning, my immediate view was a different set of three peaks, which are known of as the three apostles. Yeah. The apostles aren't specifically named, but I gave them a name that week. They were Peter, James, and John. So every morning and every afternoon and every evening, I got to spend time with Peter, James, and John on a mountain. It was pretty amazing. Also appropriate because I pondered this passage all week, the Transfiguration from Luke chapter 9. The passage that we had this morning begins with about 8 days after these sayings. Of course, begs the question, what sayings are these? Luke chapter 9 is full of so much that happened, so much that Jesus said, and so much that Jesus did. Let's go over a couple of those things leading up to this transfiguration. Earlier in chapter 9, Jesus sends out his disciples on mission throughout Israel to perform miracles, to cast out demons, and to spread the gospel. In this chapter, we also see Jesus performing his own miracles and his own gospel spreading and the feeding of the 5,000. That's also in this chapter. We see that Jesus asks Peter that very famous question, "Who do you say that I am?" And then that correspondence is followed up with a warning from Jesus that he would indeed suffer, be handed over, and that he would die and be raised on the third day. Ultimately, just before our transfiguration passage in Luke chapter 9, Jesus tells the disciples very famously, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke chapter 9 is full of some of the greatest hits, so to speak, of Jesus. So in this chapter, Jesus has been preparing the disciples. He's been preparing them for mission, for sending, for self-sacrifice, for humility. And now, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus takes three of his closest disciples up on that high mountain to pray. Very specifically, to pray. So Peter, James, and John join Jesus in this miraculous time where they do indeed see their Lord, their mission, and themselves more clearly than they ever had before. The divinity of God was shown in dazzling appeal through the heavenly reality that it is. Indeed, Jesus is the Savior of the world. His divinity is now shown that he has come into the world to save the world from selfishness and sin and desire and death and destruction. All of the previous miracles and teachings and warnings led up to this mountaintop experience for Peter, James, and John. And they would be forever changed by the one who makes all things new. And they got to see it through the lenses of his glory. And in that dazzling display of heaven meeting earth on the mountain, in the cloud, Moses and Elijah show up, join this group. Now both clearly long gone into heaven, for hundreds of years, but still pillars of the Jewish faith. Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, which Jesus came to fulfill. St. Augustine says so wonderfully of this whole matter. He says, Peter sees all of this, and as a man savoring the things of men, says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, Peter had been wearied by all of the things that we previously talked about, wearied by the multitude and wearied by the traveling and wearied by all of the things. Peter had been wearied by the multitude, but now found the mountain's solitude, where he had Christ, the bread of the soul. And Peter wished well for himself indeed. And so he added, let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. You see, Peter desired three tents. But the heavenly answer showed him that there is but one tent. Christ, the Word of God. The Word of God in the law. The Word of God in the prophets. Do not seek to divide them, Peter. They are not to be divided. Rather, join them. Join them. You seek three, but understand, there is but one. The closest disciples to Jesus, these three great apostles, Peter, James, and John, had to have this mountaintop experience in order to gain full perspective. They were a bit wearied, indeed, by all of the things that Jesus had them doing in the teachings that he was giving them and in all of the work that they did find incredibly enlightening. However, they were tired, wearied, disoriented on top of this mountain, somewhat confused, but absolutely amazed by the miraculous works of God within their presence, especially when he spoke to them saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Sometimes we too must have an otherworldly experience in order to achieve perspective. I love that C.S. Lewis writes about this in the second book of the Narnia series called The Horse and His Boy. It's perhaps my favorite of the Narnia books, actually. He writes about this. The tales of a slave boy who escapes his oppressor and befriends a horse. A horse who helps him flee to the safety of Narnia. However, along the way, major trouble persists. There are always things trying to interfere and stop him from getting to Narnia. Once, while he was walking along a steep cliff, there was the horse and his boy were chased down by a very hungry lion. And they were frightened for their lives. And another time, two lions chased the duo through a very dense forest. And there are several other examples along the way of how they had these near-death experiences, these things that were derailing his freedom. They were derailing his safety to get into Narnia. It turns out that every one of those things, every one of those things that seemed like obstacles along the way, were actually Aslan, the lion, the Christ figure in the Narnia series, leading him to safety, stepping in when he needed that net. And upon meeting Aslan then face to face, the boy questions him about the lions who constantly chased and harassed, and now they are in the light of day on the top of a mountain where the boy could see. He had perspective. He could see what was going on. And then Aslan makes it known to the boy. He says, I was the lion who forced you to join with your friend. I was the cat who confronted you among the houses of the dead. I was the lion who drove the jackals from you as you slept. I was the lion who gave the horses new strength of fear for that last mile chasing you through the forest so that you could reach the king in time. And I was the lion you don't even remember who pushed the boat in which you lay a child near death, so that it came to shore, where a man sat wakeful at midnight to receive you. The boy now had the perspective to see that he was sent, that he was protected, that he was watched over, and that he was prepared for whatever his calling would be in life. And now he is able to see that through the glory of the Savior. Peter said, "It is good that we are here." Friends, it is good that we are here. And last week, as I sat on that mountain looking up at higher mountains, I was able to have some clarity. Clarity on calling, on mission, on ministry, on leadership, on future direction, and everything. All through the glory of the Savior of the world, as I pondered his transfiguration, as he makes himself known to us in miraculous and glorious in divine ways. I've said it before and it bears repeating that we are blessed. We are blessed with a dedicated and hardworking staff here. We are blessed with a faithful and dutiful vestry. We are blessed with loads of top-notch leadership here in this parish, and we are blessed with the faithfulness of God that leads to the faithfulness of the people, the faithfulness and generosity of the people of St. John's Parish Church, all of you. We are extremely blessed by every one of these things. And I don't know about for you, but for me, that becomes more and more clear every day. Every day as we move forward into his calling for us, that through the danger, through the trials, through all of the things that we have gone through together this year plus now, it becomes clearer and clearer every day that this is what God wants for us, and that he is indeed protecting us and sending us and calling us to exactly where he wants us to be. We can see that through the glory of the Savior of the world. It is good that we are here. It is good that we are here. It is good that we are here so that we can know more intimately and listen more closely to the voice of God when he comes from the cloud and says, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen." So may we always be listening to the Lord. May we always be searching his words in Scripture. May we always be living into the calling that he has set before us, both as individuals. You know, you can do this. Each one of us can do this on our own. We can look at the perspectives that he gives us, the clarity that he gives us throughout our lives, and our life together as a congregation, united by his shed blood on the cross. So two questions for you to ponder as we leave today. Where is it that the Lord has given you a greater perspective? Where is it in your life that the Lord has given you greater perspective? And two, how is it that you had growth from that perspective? Because, you know, the growth doesn't take place on the mountaintops. The growth takes place in the valleys, as the children told us this morning. The top of the mountain is cold. There's snow. There's no electricity. It's hard to live on the top of a mountain. You can't grow on the top of a mountain. It's in the valleys. It's around the bends. It's around the turns. It's through the difficulties that we have growth, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Where is it that the Lord has given you greater perspective? And how is it that you have had growth from that perspective? We are indeed in the valleys right now. And together we are able to recognize the growth, I hope. Recognize the growth and then be changed further and further into the image and likeness of God for a purpose. To realize His purpose for us where we live, where we work, where we rest, where we play, and where we worship. Amen.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age he stands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end.